Are you an entrepreneur that would like to quickly free up and create more cash flow and lasting wealth? Welcome to the Chris Miles Money Show. Chris Miles is a cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur. Chris will teach you how to create more freedom and more prosperity right now, not about saving 25 to 40 years from now. It's all about creating wealth and prosperity today. He's been featured on U.S. News, CNN Money, Bankrate.com, interviewed internationally on TV and radio, and has a high reputation for getting his clients fast, life-altering financial results with his company, Money Ripples. Learn more at MoneyRipples.com. Now, here's your host, Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. Welcome you out again today for an awesome episode. Hey, as a quick reminder, check our website, MoneyRipples.com, especially if you want to check out the book to find ways to free up cash. On average, in fact, this has helped people free up about $34,000 in the first year alone. So check that out. There's a great ebook you can get access to. And also just remember, this show is about you guys. Like, this is really about how you can get your money and your business and everything else working in your life so that it works for you, so you don't have to work so hard for them. Because you guys, I know you work hard. A lot of you guys have money, but you don't have time. And this show is about giving you your life back, giving you that freedom, that prosperity, and that cash flow that you need right now. And today is no exception. I've got a special guest on here today, Jason Hartman. Now, Jason, just so you know, Jason is actually the founder and CEO of Platinum Properties Investor Network, as well as the Hartman Media Company and the Jason Hartman Foundation. Starting with very little, Jason, while still in college at the age of 19, he embarks on a career in real estate while brokering properties for clients. He was investing in his own portfolio along the way. So through some creativity, persistence, hard work, he soon found that he was in the top 1% of realtors in the U.S. and eventually ended up getting some of the biggest industry awards and became a young multimillionaire. This guy has purchased several thousand real estate properties, has owned income properties in 11 different states, 17 different cities, and he's helping people all over the country and achieving the American dream of financial freedom by being able to get income properties right now. So Jason, welcome to our show.
Hey, thanks, Chris. I love how you say you are the anti-financial advisor. I think that's awesome. And I think that is really fitting because I assume when you say that, you're kind of referring to Wall Street or maybe taking a stab at them a bit. And I always call Wall Street the modern version of organized crime.
It's so true. And I tell you, and that's how I started out. I started as a financial advisor. And then over the years, I realized that it was a bunch of crap. And it didn't help people become financially free. And for the people I did find financially free that were millionaires, did the exact opposite of that advice.
Yeah, that's really, boy, hats off to you for doing that and having the integrity to do that because, most people in that profession don't. And I can't tell you the number of times over the years I have sat across the table from, a well-educated guy wearing a nice suit, went to a good school, good networker, friendly, and they're telling me, someone who's wealthier than they are, most likely, how to invest money in stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. And it's not working for them. And it's really not working for any of their clients. But it's just a strange thing. And I think the world has woken up to that. But it's just a strange thing how, you hear these commercials and you hear the mainstream media and it's all about if you're an investor, quote unquote, then investors, what do they invest in? They invest in stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. They don't even consider real estate being an investment, yet it's the most historically proven asset class in the entire world. There's nothing better than income property, nothing, but they it's not even on the radar. It's just funny how they just ignore the elephant in the room. It's crazy. Well,
and it's funny because they call that risky. They call real estate investing risky, but they'll say, investing in some market that you have no control over, somehow that's supposed to be safer, right? And that's...
I know. One of the things we talk about, I have some of my core content, Chris, is called the 10 Commandments of Successful Investing. Mm-hmm. And commandment number 3 has resonated, I'd say, maybe the most with people. And that is, thou shalt maintain control. Thou shalt maintain control. And basically what it says is look, you should be a direct investor. When you put your money into something, you should be doing it directly without middlemen. Okay. In other words, you don't have, a bunch of investment banks, a brokerage, and a C-suite of executives and a board of directors siphoning all the money out of your deal. Okay.
Right.
You know, or even a general partner, or anything like that. You know, you buy, houses, apartments, you own them, you control them, you decide what to buy, where to buy, when to buy, how to finance it, when to refinance it, when to sell it, how much to charge for the rent, everything. You know, it's yours, right?
Yeah.
But with that control comes some degree of responsibility. So there is a bit of a trade-off, right? And, you know, we all hear this thing about passive investing, which I think is a complete myth, okay?
Yeah.
And I hate to admit, I used to say that you could be a passive real estate investor. You can't be a passive investor in anything, not if you want to do well. You've got to pay right. attention to everything. There is no such thing as a passive investment. And if anybody tells you there is, they're lying. It's just not true. Okay. So commandment number three, thou shalt maintain control, be a direct investor. When you don't violate commandment number three, you leave yourself susceptible to three primary. So certainly there's no shortage of crooks in real estate that, you know, run funds and LLCs and whatever, right, that you could invest in. And those promoters could be a crook. They might not be, but they could be. There's no shortage of crooks on Wall Street. We right. know that, right? Okay. That's just crooked by definition, almost. Okay. There's crooks in every area of life. Real estate is certainly not immune to it at all. I deal with them all the time. Okay. But you might be investing with a crook. Number two problem, you might be investing with an idiot. Okay. So first, because of their business. The second is because of their incompetence. And the third, assuming they're honest and competent, management fee off the top for managing the deal. Okay. Mm-hmm. And there's this great book. It was written years ago. It's by Lou Dobbs. It's called War on the Middle Class. And in War on the Middle Class, chapter two, Lou Dobbs talks about the Wall Street tycoons. And they, you know, one example he gives is Larry Ellison, the CEO, founder and CEO of Oracle. Of course, we've all heard of Larry Ellison, one of the richest people in the world. And between 2000 and 2002, just two short years, Larry's personal take from the company was $761 million, almost $1 billion in 2 years, right? But at the same time, his shareholders lost 61% of their investment. So
right.
there's a serious misalignment here, isn't there?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's true.
You make some great points because, I actually just had a few clients I spoke with recently where both of them came up and they said, you know, Chris, I don't know if I really want to be an active investor. And they understood it because I taught them. It's like, listen, active investing, you know, where you get rid of more middle people, right? And you have control. You also have the ability to create more income, like more returns. The trade-off, though, is that there's, like you said, there's more responsibility because with any kind of amount of freedom, there's also responsibility, you know, and they're like, yeah, I just don't know if we want to deal with the headaches of the properties. Like, what if the tenants decide to stop paying, we have to evict them or this or that? Like, well, listen, like even if you invest in a fund, they're still dealing with that crap. You just don't hear about it, but they're dealing with it. And the only thing they're doing is they're paying you the scraps. They're saying, here, what can we pay you that we can make sure we can pay no matter what while we keep all the rest, all the other profit? So you're not like a full partner. You know, you really are getting paid a lot less than you can when you have full control and you're managing your own investments, especially if you're doing it right.
Yeah, no question. And, you know, look, the thing about being a direct investor is you're going to feel the bumps in the road. You know, when you invest in a stock, bond, or mutual fund, there are all kinds of things going on that you don't know about at that company. You know, the CEO is getting sued for sexual harassment.
Right.
You know, the company's getting sued for violating the patent of some other company. There's all kinds of stuff going on. You just don't really feel that. You just notice that you get a much lower return on your investment. You know, they're they're getting sued for, you know, discrimination and, you know, whatever, right? There's all this stuff going on that is siphoning away your profits, okay? It's happening all the time. You know, the executives are giving themselves a raise, the board of directors is giving themselves a raise, and, you know.
Right.
And the shareholders getting screwed at the same time.
Yep.
But you don't feel it. You know, when your tenant in your rental property pays late, you feel that. Your tenant in your rental property doesn't pay and then you have to evict them and then they leave your house in bad condition, you feel that. Okay. So if we can learn to, you know, stay focused on the big picture, to keep our eye on the ball, to look at the big picture and realize these are just little bumps in the road. They happen everywhere in the world all the time. Mm-hmm. And not get all emotional about it and just, you know, keep our eye on the prize, if you will. We can do very well, you know, and you're going to have these bumps in the road. You're going to feel them and they're not going to feel good. You got to condition yourself in advance that this is going to happen. And you're just going to take the punches, okay? Yeah. Because everyone in life who gets anywhere has to fight some battles, you know? It's just life.
I mean, it's not just mailbox money. You just, you know, throw some money in, and then all of a sudden you just get checked.
Right, exactly. It's passive income. Good luck with that. Good luck with that. You know what's so funny? I even contend, I go so far as to say, that, I mean, look, if you're investing, by the way, in stocks, bonds, and mutual funds, you can't treat that passively. Good luck with that one. If you don't learn and pay attention to that portfolio, you're going to lose. You're just going to lose, okay? Just get a clue. It's just not the real world. Passive income is not reality, okay? I wish it were. It's a great fantasy. You know, I used to believe in it myself. You know, I wasn't always this cynical. but even I go so far as to say, that even putting money in the bank is not passive income. And let me tell you why. I'll give you a couple examples. So first of all, you know, any of us that have a brain know that, you know, you're going to get eaten alive by taxes and inflation, right? So mm-hmm. even if you make, you know, even if you can make 1.5% on your CD, taxes and inflation will turn that return negative, right?
Right.
Well, but it's worse than that. Okay. I have a couple of bank accounts that, and you know, I admit it, I find it hard to deploy money and have time to deploy it, right? So I got a couple bank accounts around where, you know, in this one bank, I just put $250,000 in each and left it there, right? I didn't do anything, you know, and I just, you know, it's the FDIC limit, so 250 each, right?
Right.
In each of these accounts at this one bank. And this was a bank where I never really went there. I moved out of state, you know, the bank wasn't in my new state when I moved. And I kept getting these notices that because of inactivity on your account, it will escheat to the state. We will send all your money to the state if you don't do something. So I go through this giant hassle on a flipping bank account, right? On two bank accounts. I call the bank and I say, hey, I got this notice. You know, I'm here. Don't worry. I haven't gone anywhere. I didn't abandon my money. I just want you to keep it. And they said, well, sorry, you're going to have to come in and make a deposit or a withdrawal, even a dollar, and that'll be active again. And I said, well, I can't come in because I don't live in your state anymore. Can I do it over the phone? And he said, no, you have to come in. We can't do anything. And I said, like multiple phone calls, I finally get the bank manager on the phone. I said, look, I'll tell you what, convert it to a CD. And he said, no, we can't do that. You have to come in. I said, well, just send me the papers. I'll sign them. No, you have to come in. And I said, oh my God, this is so ridiculous. So then I said, look, how about this? Why don't you send me checks and I will write myself a couple of checks. Mm-hmm. And so I got the checks in the mail and I wrote myself a check for $100 out of each to do that every year now. Oh, no passive income here. Okay. That's my point. There's nothing passive. It doesn't exist.
That's great. It's true. Like it. But any, you know, I talk a lot about on this show about stewardship, right? Like if you want your stewardship to grow, you have to manage it. And there's a true principle of decay, right? You know, whatever you ignore will leave you, will decay, will disappear. You know, you ignore your teeth, you're going to lose them, right?
That's a good, you marriage, ignore your romance, you're going to lose it. You ignore your kids, you're going to lose them. Yeah, that's good.
Yep.
That's
and if you ignore your money, you'll lose it too. It's plain and simple. And It's true. Like it's tough because like everybody wants people, most people want, think they want freedom, but they're really asking for security, which is how can I be brainless? How can I not do anything and just have money show up, you know? And that's really against all natural laws of the universe. You know, it's basically like, you know, you reap what you sow, you know? And I think that's a great point you're bringing up.
Hey, look, the Bible taught us that. James Allen taught us that. Mm-hmm. You know, teachers throughout time have taught us that as we sow, so shall we reap, right? And you're absolutely right about that. You've got to pay attention to things. Expecting, you know, benefit packages without production requirements. It's like being a spoiled teenager. I mean, you know, being a mature adult, you realize you have a duty to participate and make things happen. Nothing's for free. And you know what? The vast majority of times, if it was free and we got it all easily, we wouldn't appreciate it anyway. And we'd probably end up as a drug-addicted, depressed celebrity. you know, so it's good to earn your stripes. I mean, it's good for you. It's good for your character, okay? Get out there and do it.
So, that's right. Yeah. Well, tell us more about, like, what are you doing now, like, as a business owner and as an investor? What is it you do today?
Well, basically, my primary business is a real estate investment company, and we teach people how to invest very conservatively. You know, I'm older and I'm much more conservative. You know, earning your money all over again is difficult, and I don't want to do it over again. It's a hassle. So I believe in investing for yield, just being a direct investor and investing for cash flow and getting a good yield on investments. So we teach people how to do this, and then we provide a referral network where they can buy properties in different markets around the country that we vet and recommend. And that's what we do. We help clients build those portfolios, and we provide software and ongoing support. And in addition to that, you know, I basically follow my own investment advice. I don't think I'm my best investor. I have clients that are better than I am at it. You know, they're more organized than I am, you know, and have more time to dedicate to it. But it's the same concept and principle. I invest in the exact same types of properties I recommend to my clients. We like these. There are three basic types of real estate markets around the world: linear markets, cyclical markets, and hybrid markets. Linear markets are boring. They don't make the news. Nothing very exciting happens there. These are the places we like the best. There are places like Memphis, Tennessee, Indianapolis, Little Rock, Arkansas, you know, lots of places around the country that are just kind of boring. They're not very newsworthy. Right. Versus the cyclical markets that are very newsworthy. You know, the West Coast of the United States, San Diego, LA, San Francisco, Seattle. Okay. Mm-hmm. Very newsworthy. Glorious highs, really ugly lows. But when it's up, it's up. It's glorious. Terrible cash flow, highly overregulated, overcrowded, overtaxed, left-wing markets. Okay.
Right.
And all of those left-wing political-leaning areas are very landlord-unfriendly. They think landlords are evil.
Right.
They, you know, if you have to ever go to court with a tenant, you're guilty before proven innocent as the landlord. Versus the linear markets that tend to lean more conservative, that are landlord-friendly. There, you know, it's like, hey, tenant, you know, you have to be a responsible adult and pay your rent or you're out. Okay. You know, imagine that.
Weird.
Right? Yeah. I know. It's so unfair. So that's another thing. Now, if you look in the Northeast, you know, New York City, Boston, Washington, D.C., these kind of markets, cyclical, glorious highs, ugly lows. Mm-hmm. South Florida, Miami, great example, cyclical market.
Right.
Around the world, Hong Kong, Paris, London, Dubai, cyclical markets, incredible highs, very low affordability, and you know, they come crashing down when things go bad. And the cash flow is terrible. You can't get good what we call rent to value ratios in these markets.
Right.
You know, most of the world is linear in terms of the way the real estate market feels. It's not, most of the world's not cyclical, yet we hear only about the cyclical markets, interestingly.
Right.
In between the two is what we call a hybrid market. In the U.S., examples of this would be places like Denver, Austin, and the, you know, these are good cities. They're not incredibly expensive, but they're not cheap either. And so they're in between the two.
What so do you focus primarily on U.S. or do you find things worldwide as well?
All U.S. We have looked around the world extensively. We've spent a lot of time researching that, talked to a lot of people. But you know what? We feel that the United States has a very special real estate market in many ways. It would have to be a rather long discussion, but you know, if you got a question or two, fire away on that. You know, I've been to 81 countries. I love to travel. Some of those countries I've been to many, many times. Mm-hmm. And I look at properties. I've met with brokers in, you know, all over Central America, South America, Europe. But, you know, the U.S. is just, it's just got a really good special market. It's got good rule of law. It's got transparent data. It's got low closing and transaction costs and a very transparent chain of title process and a very transparent closing process. In other parts of the world, this is very opaque. It's very bureaucratic. It's very slow. Yeah. It's very expensive. Mm-hmm. There's just, the U.S. is the real estate market in the U.S. has a lot of vitality and a lot of good data. You know, we have Zillow, we have MLS systems. You can really find out what something is worth in the U.S. and have price discovery. Around the world, it's not like that.
That's right.
It's just really hard to figure out the value of anything. So,
I've actually had people from other countries say, hey, how do I invest in the U.S. market? Because your guys' real estate market is so much better than mine right now.
Oh, it's so special. Yeah, the U.S. has got a much better market. Yeah, totally agree.
That's great. Well, so if people want to like really follow you and or like learn, you know, about some stuff, I know you've got, like you said, you got software, you've got all kinds of things to look at pockets of areas. You know, you got the area agnostic approach, you know, and everything around the country. Yeah, how would people be able to find you or be able to do that?
Well, my website is just my name. It's jasonhartman.com, jasonhartman.com. And you can find me there. Of course, I run some very popular, very old, 14 years old podcasts. Those are on iTunes or Stitcher Radio or whatever platform you use. Just type Jason Hartman, you'll find them. And, you know, happy to help. We've got over 5,000 podcast episodes out now and listeners in 165 countries. So, you know, we've been doing it since the early days and, you know, we give a lot of this information away for free. You know, one of my other commandments is thou shalt become educated and like what you do on your show and, you know, with your audience is, you know, there's a lot of great free education out there. I mean, I'm not saying you shouldn't have to pay for anything, but you don't have to pay a ton of money. Okay, to get a good education in this stuff. And the one word of caution I have is, of course, education is valuable. Of course, it's necessary. But don't be the educated derelict. Don't be the person who's forever learning and never doing. You'll learn more by doing things than you ever will by going to seminars, reading books, or even listening to podcasts like you are right now.
Okay. Very true.
You got to do stuff. If you don't do anything, you really will, nothing will ever happen. Okay.
That's right. Can't be a hearer of the word only. You got to be a doer of the word, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Good point. Good point.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Well, Jason, this has been very valuable. You've given so many good nuggets here that this is kind of an episode I think people should listen to more than once because some of the things you said are so subtle, but so important. So thank you so much.
Yeah. Happy investing to you and your audience.
That's right. Absolutely. Well, everybody else, thank you so much for joining us and join us again next week. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful, prosperous week. And we'll see you later.
Thanks for listening to The Chris Miles Money Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and make us a part of your daily routine. And check out our blogs and learn more about Chris, his services, and how we can help you at moneyripples.com. Join us next time on The Chris Miles Money Show.